Friends, we have all assembled here this afternoon to understand what is this technique of Vipassana meditation and how does it help us in our day-to-day life. It is a science, I never call it a religion. A science of the interaction of mind and matter. A great super scientist, 26 centuries back. A great super physician, 26 centuries back, an enlightened person. He discovered why we become miserable. And is there a way to come out of misery? He went to the depth of the reality pertaining to the mind, pertaining to the matter, discovered and contributed to the world, to the humanity, this wonderful process which can be practiced by anyone, everyone, belonging to any community, any tradition, makes no difference. Human being is human being. And human mind is human mind, everywhere the same. When you generate any negativity, you are bound to become miserable. You generate anger, hatred, ill will, animosity, passion, fear, ego, any defilement in the mind, and you are the first victim of this defilement. You generate anger to harm somebody. You can't harm somebody without first harming yourself. That was a great discovery of the scientist. Bubbe hanati attanang paccha hanati sopare. You can't harm anybody unless you have harmed yourself. We understand, even before Buddha, it was quite clear that one should live a moral life, full of ethics. That means don't perform any vocal action or physical action which will harm and hurt others, which will disturb the peace and harmony of others. Quite clear, a human being is a social being. One has to live in the society. And if one keeps on disturbing the peace and harmony of the society, how can one live himself or herself in peace? So it was as if we are obliging to the society by not disturbing their peace, by not harming them, by not hurting them. It is true. But here a great scientist he found out, you are obliging yourself. By not harming yourself, you are protecting yourself. You are not harming yourself. Any physical or vocal action which is against others cannot be performed unless some defilement or the other arises in the mind. You can't kill anybody unless you generate tremendous amount of anger, hatred, ill will, and then only you kill somebody. And as soon as you generate anger or hatred or ill will, you are the first victim. You become so miserable. The entire chemistry of your body changes. Lot of heat, lot of palpitation, lot of tension. What you are doing? You are harming yourself. You steal something not belonging to you. You generate tremendous amount of greed. And the technique given by him, if you observe what is happening within ourselves, you have lost the balance of your mind. You lost the peace of your mind. You lost the harmony of your mind. You commit adultery, sexual misconduct. You have to generate a lot of lust, passion. And if you observe, you find the moment you generated lust or passion, you lost the peace of your mind. You lost the harmony of your mind. You lost the balance of your mind. you are a miserable person. So before harming anybody, you start harming yourself. At the apparent level, yes, a social being should not disturb other members of the human society, should not hurt. Yes, true. But in one's own selfish interest, one should not harm oneself also. That becomes so clear by this technique of meditation, of vipassana. It's not meditation, actually, observation. Observation of the truth as it is. Whenever something happens undesirable in the life, somebody has said something or done something which I don't like, immediately I generate anger and retaliate. I try to harm him because he has harmed me. All the time, when the anger is there, my mind keeps on thinking the object of the anger. So-and-so said like this. So-and-so did like this. All the time. And this is giving fuel to the fire that has started inside. One does not try to understand, one does not try to experience what is happening within me. That is much more important than what has happened outside. Of course, one has to be very careful about what happens outside, must be aware of that. But more than that, one should be aware of what is happening within me. Much more important. Because here lies the source of my misery. At the apparent level, it looks that I have become miserable because something undesirable has happened in the life. I have come in contact with something at the eye sense door, or the ear sense door, or nose sense door, or tongue sense door, or body sense door, which I don't like. So I become miserable. Yes, apparent truth. Apparently it is so. But this super scientist discovered something happening outside and you are becoming miserable. Between these two, a missing link. He discovered this missing link. That missing link is a sensation on the body. As soon as something comes in contact with your sense door, there is a sensation. And when evaluation is given to the object outside, good, bad, the sensation turns into pleasant, unpleasant, and then only you react with craving or aversion. This missing link he discovered and gave a technique. Learn how to observe it. Every time one becomes miserable, the truth is, at the apparent level, something has happened outside, but at the real level, a sensation in the body. And you are reacting to this sensation in the body. And he gave a wonderful technique. Just observe. Observe objectively. Something has happened outside, yes. But something has happened inside which is much more important for you. You are becoming more and more miserable. You are multiplying your misery. Observe it. Observe it. Anger has arisen. Observe it. You can't observe anger as anger. But when anger arises, something is happening at the body level. Heat is there. Palpitation is there. Tension is there. Keep on observing. As you observe, the strength of anger becomes less, passes away. You have not suppressed it. You have not expressed it. Just observing. You are helping yourself. Unless you can help yourself, how can you help others? First important thing, remain healthy. Our mind should always be healthy, wholesome, free from defilements. And that does not work merely by listening to sermons. Sermons are good, of course. When we listen to sermons, then only we understand at the intellectual level. But that doesn't help us. Unless you start experiencing the truth within yourself, you can't come out of your misery. Maybe at the surface level of the mind, you feel, now it's all right, I understand. I should not generate anger, it's very bad for me. Deep inside, at the deepest level of the mind, you keep on generating anger. It keeps on multiplying, settles down. Such a tremendous stock of all these negativities, anger, hatred, passion, ego, are lying deep inside. You call it anusaya klesha, at the deepest level of the mind. And time again, these sleeping volcanoes, volcanic eruption. And again, you know at the intellectual level, I should not react like this. It is not good for me, not good for others. And yet, you react. And then you start repenting. I should not have said like this. I should not have done like this. This is all at the intellectual level. At the actual level, you are slave of your own unwholesome habit pattern. Unless this unwholesome habit pattern at the depth of the mind is broken, one cannot come out of misery. And one keeps on multiplying, keeps on strengthening this unwholesome habit pattern, keeps on multiplying ignorantly. Nobody wants to harm oneself. Nobody wants to become miserable. And yet, we keep on making ourselves miserable, miserable, miserable. This technique helps. You start observing what's happening to you deep inside, much more important than what is happening outside. Everyone is a prisoner of one's own habit pattern. Everyone is a slave of one's own habit pattern, unwholesome habit pattern. When this technique was given to the prisoners, they are prisoners, very unhappy. Very unhappy partly because they are away from their family, they are away from their facilities or comforts of their house, naturally. But I say, you are also prisoner of your habit pattern deep inside. They won't understand what I am talking. It's all right. See the reality within yourself. And they start practicing within 2 days, 3 days. They realize all the time, while they are in prison, all the time, they keep on thinking. They keep on generating anger. I will take revenge. When I go out, I will take revenge. I will kill so-and-so. I will do this, I will do that. I say, now observe. When you have this feeling of revenge towards others, you've got anger, you've got hatred, what's happening within you? And they start realizing so much of burning, so much of tension, what I am doing. You are not going to kill this person now, only when you are out of prison 10 years later, then only you may kill. Why you are killing yourself now? What you are doing? And they start realizing. Sermons won't help. They start realizing. Not only prisoners, very hard criminals have changed by observing. One course, two course, three course. Such a big change comes in very hard criminals. The same person who wanted to kill somebody, to take revenge, now he says, I will go and ask pardon from this person. So much of love I have for this person, so much of compassion, so much of goodwill. Sermons, not because of sermons. Because this reality, the truth, the scientific reality, that when you generate negativity in the mind, you are a miserable person. And when that negativity is away, your mind is pure, free from defilements. Nature, law of nature is such, you start experiencing so much of peace, so much of harmony. So when I generate negativity in the mind, I become so miserable. And when I keep myself away from this negativity, mind is pure, free from defilement, I find so much of peace. Law of nature, universal law of nature. Whenever you generate any defilement in the mind, nature will punish you then and there, not after death. Well, after death also. You are now sowing the seed of hellfire. You will get nothing but hellfire. So now also you are miserable. And later on also you are miserable. What you are doing? And law of nature is such, if you keep your mind pure, free from defilements, you enjoy peace. You enjoy peace now, here and now. And after death also, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is inside. First you have to experience that, and you get the kingdom of heaven after death. You don't get anything in this life. And keep on expecting something will happen after death, something will happen, someone will come and save me or help me. Well, one may have any kind of belief. But the fact is, if you are not coming out of your misery now, I doubt what will happen in future. Now, future is the product of present. good or bad, pleasant or unpleasant, whatever life you are living now, pure or impure, same kind of result will be coming in future. This becomes so clear, so clear. Another reality which very much attracted me was that, because I come from a very different tradition, and I was quite happy with the tradition, there was nothing wrong. But when I got this, I found it takes me to such depth of my mind. Well, any problem comes, one becomes agitated, one generates anger or hatred or passion or fear. We were told, you divert your attention. Divert your attention from the object which is generating all kinds of defilement in your mind. Good. Whenever I diverted my attention to something else, like reciting something or even counting 1, 2, 3, 4, my mind is diverted, I feel relief. I realized by this practice, the relief is only on the surface level of the mind, which this great scientist said, this is only a small mind. Now the Western scientist says, conscious mind, a very small mind, the half-conscious, the unconscious, a bigger mind. In those days, these words were not used. Small mind, paritta chitta, very small mind. And you keep on playing with this mind, keep on playing with your intellect. What is happening deep inside? You know nothing about it, a big barrier. This technique breaks that barrier and you go to the depth of the mind and there you start changing the habit pattern. And it was wonderful. The result was wonderful. Not that because of this, my taking morphine again and again because of the migraine attack, I was relieved of that within 10 days. Not that alone. This bad habit, such an ego-centered person, being successful in life such a young age, lot of ego, that means lot of tension, lot of anger, such a short temper. I used to make myself unhappy, I used to make others unhappy. The change started coming, such a big change. Change was good. And the number of other, my friends, friends in business, my friends, intellectuals, my friends in politics, whoever came to the course, they found such a wonderful result. However wealthy a person may be, this does not mean that you won't come across ups and downs of the life. Vicissitudes are bound to come to the wealthiest person. However powerful one may be in politics, this does not mean that this person will not face ups and downs in the life. And when these things happen, vicissitudes happen, you lose the balance of your mind. You become miserable. Become miserable. There must be a way out. And this wonderful scientist, the enlightened one, found out a way. In every situation, up or down, you maintain perfect equilibrium of your mind. You don't generate any impurity. Even if impurity comes up, how quickly you remove it and start generating nothing but love, compassion, goodwill, art of living, how to live peacefully and harmoniously within, and how to generate nothing but peace and harmony for the atmosphere outside so that others can also live in peace and harmony, a gracious way of living. Anybody can practice. The practice starts with respiration, observe the respiration, just to calm down the mind, surface level of the mind. And next step, start observing the sensations on the body. He discovered that whatever arises in the mind starts flowing with the sensation on the body. Mind and matter, the interaction of the two, the connection of the two, so strong. Sabbe dhamma vedana samusarana. Whatever arises in the mind, there must be simultaneous sensation on the body. What type of mind you are carrying, that type of sensation, unhealthy mind, impure mind, sensation makes you very unhappy. A pleasant mind, a pure mind, very pleasant sensation, good sensation, full of love, compassion for others. You learn not by discourses, not by reading the words of Buddha. Well, they give inspiration, perfectly all right. By practice. He was interested in telling people to practice, you experience the truth. Then only you will get benefit. If you don't experience, it is an intellectual pleasure, yes, at the intellectual level. Good, good, Buddha taught, wonderful, wonderful. So what? I didn't gain anything. For a few moments I feel, yes, wonderful, very good. Again, I am the same bundle of misery. I keep on generating impurities, I remain miserable. How to come out of it? I have my own experience as a businessman, and large number of businessmen are coming now. High executives of big companies, government executives responsible for very high posts, coming in large numbers. Why? Because they find that with this technique, the tension goes away, not only at the surface level. If you want to come out of tension at surface level, just lie down, relax in Shavasana, and you'll find tension has gone away. But gone away where? Only at the body level. Deep inside the mind is still tense. The habit pattern of the mind at the depth remains the same. This technique takes you to the depth of the mind. Relax, relax. You just observe. You don't even say relax, relax, not necessary. You just observe, observe, observe. The tension goes away from the depth. And slowly the habit pattern changes. If there is a big stock of negativity, every now and then this negativity crops up and you become miserable, you become miserable, and you make this habit stronger and stronger. You remain all the time miserable. Now observing, 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 changing the habit pattern of the mind at the depth level, changing the life. Then the capacity to work increases. Having taken this course and coming on this path, I continued my business, I continued my industries. My capacity to work increased, and that was not only a miracle for me, and no miracle for anybody. Such large number of people who are coming to the courses, business people, high responsible people in their life, they find, now my capacity to work has increased. Previously, you work for 8 hours and you feel so very much fatigued and pressurized. And you go back home very much heavy deep inside. Now, after 8 hours, you feel so fresh. You feel like working more. 10 hours, 12 hours, still you are fresh. Technique helps you because it makes your mind very healthy. And if the mind is healthy, body automatically remains healthy. You need not worry. But the mind is most important. Mind matters most. Every impurity arising in the mind manifests itself in the body and we become miserable, more and more miserable. These government executives who are coming now, it so happened that in the government of Maharashtra, two high officers, while on duty, with an interval of about 10 days, two officers collapsed in the office and died. So much of pressure on them, so much of work, and time limit, you must finish by this time, you must finish by this time. And they couldn't. Government was very much worried. They started sending their officers to different schools to help them to come out of tension. It worked, but for a short time. Then one of them came to the course of Vipassana. Oh, it is so wonderful. Then government sends more people there. And now they have found with all the research work that they have done, now 14 days leave with salary is given to any officer to go to Vipassana. Anybody can go. They are coming in large numbers. And like this, business executives are coming in large numbers. People from every walk of life, rich or poor. Human mind is human mind. Rich or poor makes no difference. Highly educated or illiterate makes no difference. A very powerful person in politics or no power makes no difference. Human mind is such. You keep on generating defilements without understanding. You are harming yourself. You keep on generating. You become miserable. You become miserable. Once you know that you can come out of your misery by observing the sensations, a very good solution has come. I remember just third or fourth course that I was giving in India, coming from Burma. A very rich industrialist, very rich person. He came to the course. He was suffering from a lot of depression. Very rich man. So what? There are so many reasons to become depressed. In big depression, he tried to commit suicide twice. Somehow he was saved. So people recommended him, some of my friends, common friend, hey, you go there and try. In 10 days, he was out of it. No magic, no miracle. As Buddha said, nothing can arise in your mind without a sensation on the body. If depression has come, there must be a sensation in the body. And by this technique, you start observing, oh, this depression. Don't go in the details of the depression. Depression as depression. And what sensation I have now? Keep on observing. This sensation is not eternal. By experience, again and again practicing, one understands this is not eternal. Let me see how long it lasts. Let me see how long it lasts. It becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. Along with that, this depression becomes weaker, 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 passes away. These body sensations was a great discovery of this great scientist as a solution for all our problems. People come to me, highly addicted. I am addicted. I want to come out of alcohol. I'm highly addicted. Please help me. Or somebody comes, I have addiction of drugs. I say, no, you have no addiction of alcohol. You have no addiction of drug. You have addiction of body sensation. When you take alcohol, your mind at the deeper level starts feeling a sensation. And you like the sensation. You like the sensation. Again, you take something just to get the sensation again. Every time it happens, you call, I am addicted. At the apparent level, yes, you are addicted. You are addicted to alcohol or drug or any other intoxicant. Really, at the real level, deeper level, you are addicted to your sensation. And when by this technique you learn how to observe the sensation, just observe the sensation objectively. Don't react. Observe. Observe. One starts coming out. This addiction is not only for intoxicants. This addiction is addiction of anger also, addiction of passion also, addiction of fear also, addiction of ego also. Every impurity, we get addicted to it. We keep on generating again and again, again and again. We are addicted. Knowing very well it is very harmful, and yet we are addicted. All addiction go away. And one starts living a very peaceful life, very harmonious life. Not that in 10 days you will become a Buddha, out of question. But in 10 days, you know, this is the path for me. This is how I can liberate myself from all the miseries of the life. I can come out of it, and then I can start not only helping myself, I start helping others. People come to courses, hundreds of them, with a face full of melancholy, full of sadness. Everyone has some misery or the other, some problem or the other. After 10 days, when they go back home, after 10 days, so much of happiness on their face, glow on their face, and then they keep on writing, oh, my life has changed totally. Now I'm a very happy person, a very happy person. Technique helps. Not that Buddha living on the sky above somewhere and gives blessing, all right, because you come to my Vipassana, you will be liberated. Nothing doing. Everyone has to find out, work out one's own liberation. A path is there, one has to work, and one has to spare time for that. Initially, at least 10 days of life, to make a deep operation of the mind, to go to the deepest level of the mind and change the habit pattern which is so harmful to you. You have to go to that depth. It takes time. But whoever has come, hundreds of thousands of people who have come to Vipassana courses, not a single person has come to tell me that I wasted my 10 days. People may hesitate to come and tell me, they might tell to others, but no one has said, even to others, that I wasted the time. Everyone gets some benefit or the other, according to the work one does, according to the seriousness in which one works. Some benefit is bound to come. And if they continue to work, if they make it a pattern of their life, observe yourself. Anything happening? Observe yourself. Just for a few seconds, not that something is happening, you close your eyes and go in a room and start meditating. How can you live in the world? You have to live. So even with open eyes, the technique takes you to the stage, even with open eyes, things are happening outside. You are aware of your sensations, and you are equanimous with the sensation. And then whatever you do is positive. It can't harm any. The habit of blind reaction goes away. Every time there is a blind reaction, negativity is there, bound to be there. You are miserable, you make others miserable. And every time the mind is equanimous, it is positive. Then it is action. Vipassana does not make you inactive. It is not that I am like vegetable, let anybody come and cut me, I don't care, I am Vipassana meditator. Oh no, very active, but with a positive mind, a mind full of equanimity, a mind free from anger, hatred, but full of love, full of compassion. That comes by practice only. It won't come just by sermons. It won't come just by reading scriptures. That's why Buddha kept on emphasizing. People used to come and discuss with him, argue with him. He said, well, you accept a moral life is good life, isn't it? Yes, I accept. People from every religion, from every tradition accepts this, moral life. How can you live moral life without control on the mind? So you accept there must be control on the mind. Yes, everyone accepts. Mere control won't help. If there is impure mind, it will keep on harming you, harming others. So purification of mind, full of love, full of compassion, you agree or not? And anybody who comes to him, you say, yes, yes, sir, I agree. Now practice. You agree all these things. Mere agreeing won't help. You have to practice. Now observe the reality. Observe the truth within yourself. You become a person living a moral life by nature. Whole nature has changed now. Your life has changed now. And that is why I keep on saying it's an art of living. Makes no difference whether you are a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew. Makes no difference. Human being is human being. People from every religion. There is no religion in the world today whose followers are not attending Vipassana, whose leaders are not attending Vipassana. Till now about 2,000, more than 2,000 Christian priests and nuns have participated, and they keep on participating because they get the result. And I am not here to convert people from this organized religion to that organized religion. What will anybody get by this conversion? Convert people from misery to happiness, from bondage to liberation. And that is the best thing that one can do. I found this has helped me, and I am very happy when I see a large number of people coming and helping themselves. All of you are here today. May you spare 10 days of your life. Give it a trial. You won't lose anything. You will gain. Certainly you will gain. Give it a trial and enjoy the real peace within yourself. For the world peace, individual's peace is very important. Have this peace inside so that you can generate peace for the atmosphere outside. May all of you enjoy real peace, real harmony, real happiness, real happiness.
It's now time for our question and answer session. Let's start with a big one.
Good.
How do you define or how do you recognize happiness?
Well, two types of happiness, as I said. One is at the surface level of the mind. You start enjoying some sensual pleasure. And you say, I'm very happy. But that is so ephemeral, it passes away. Other happiness is deep inside, all the time. All the time, you are free from all kinds of misery. That's a real happiness. And that can be attained. It's not just an ideal thing.
This questioner wants to know, in your travels around the world, do you see a new or renewed hunger for spirituality?
Well, certainly when there is darkness, people want light. When there is misery, they want some way to come out of misery. Rich or poor, everyone living such a tense life, such a miserable life. And they go for some temporary relief. That doesn't satisfy. They want something. And spirituality, pure spirituality, secular spirituality will help, certainly.
What is the relationship between spirituality and materialism? We often think they're in opposition to each other, are they?
Oh, no, no. A householder must work hard, honestly, to earn money. Nothing wrong. A householder should not beg money. Not good. He has to earn money, but then with the base of spirituality. If one is earning money just to satisfy one's ego, look, I am now a millionaire, a multimillionaire, a billionaire, a multi-billionaire. I am one inch taller than anybody else. One makes oneself so miserable. Now you earn money for your own livelihood, for the livelihood of those who depend on you, and then you understand this money has come from the society, from the consumers. So how I make use of this for the benefit of others? There is no ego now. You are serving others. You are helping others. So spirituality can go very well with materialism. Materialism alone without spirituality is harmful.
This questioner wants to know, how can I become a more loving being when I daily find myself angry at God because I have spine problems, my partner is an alcoholic, and 4.2 million people in South Africa have HIV with no hope for treatment?
Come to Vipassana. This is the only way. We have people. You see, the physical ailment gives you pain. Now a patient of any kind of physical pain, cancer, and somebody have reached the terminal stage of cancer. Now you can understand what painful situation is. And a number of students who had cancer at the time of death or before death, they don't take any medicine to become unconscious, they don't take any medicine to sleep. They observe, and smilingly they pass away. It's the art of dying. So any kind of disease will not make anybody so miserable. One can observe, remain equanimous, and even if one should die, will die peacefully. And it's the art of dying, but art of dying comes only when you have art of living. First learn art of living, then the art of dying is there. I have not come across any, or no information has come to me about any Vipassana meditator having died unconsciously, fearfully, crying, nothing. Everyone observing the respiration, observing the sensation, passes away, smilingly.
You touched on the answer to this question briefly, but this person would like to know, as a householder, how does one reconcile the virtue of non-attachment with the bond of marriage and family?
We don't say that when you say remain detached, this does not mean that you don't care what happens to your wife or your husband or your children. I am a Vipassana meditator, don't care. Oh, no, no. By this technique, mind will become so pure. And all your responsibility and love and compassion, all your family members will become so strong. But you are equanimous. You are detached. Whenever something happens somewhere to any member of the family, you serve. You serve with all the love and compassion. You're not successful, you don't cry. Again you try. Try again. Again not successful, don't cry. Just try. Keep trying. You are a happy person and you are having your responsibility fulfilled.
Do you have any suggestions for bringing greater harmony and service into the business world? We know that you've done a lot of work with business organizations. Even when the leadership of the organizations may not be ready or open to meditation courses for themselves or their employees.
Well, let the time ripen. When they feel that they are very miserable, they will come. People are coming. Why they invited me? Why they invited me in Davos? Because some of them understood there is a technique which helps. So even though they are all not millionaires, billionaires, everyone is a billionaire there, and yet they invited me because misery is there. Just becoming a billionaire does not mean that he's free from misery. More misery, because I have passed through all those myself. So I know very much misery. If this technique, you continue your business, you earn money, nothing wrong. Live a good life, good for you and good for others. So technique helps you to live a normal, healthy householder's life.
In your biography, Vipassana is described as a practice without dogma, rites, or rituals. How do you have a practice without ritual? How does a practice develop popularity without developing dogma?
Well, when I ask people, you observe your breath, what dogma in this? What ritual? You are just observing. You are making an analytical study of the mind and matter, and you start with the breath because this is the first reality that you experience. You keep on experiencing, and then this breath is not tagged with this religion or that religion. Anybody can practice it. Breath is breath. You can't say this is a Hindu breath or a Muslim breath or a Christian breath. Breath is breath. You just observe. And then after 3 days, you start observing your sensations on the body. You start observing your mind. Again, universal. You generate anger. You can't say this is Hindu anger. This time it's Buddhist anger. Now it's Jewish anger. Anger is anger. And the misery that you experience because of it, again, you can't label. The misery is misery. And when you are out of it and you start experiencing peace and harmony, no labor. So that is why rites and rituals have nothing to do. A scientist will not work first some rite or ritual and then only he will practice. It's a lab within the framework of the body and you are making an experiment of the truth about mind and matter. Anybody can do.
How can you tell if you are progressing and truly becoming more equanimous?
Well, your life pattern. One can say, I am now a very religious person, a very equanimous person. But when you deal with people, then you find you are not. A very saintly person in the olden days has said that whether you are really a religious person or not, this will be judged when you are in the marketplace. There, when you deal with people, then people will know, yes, you are a good person or bad person. Merely you are saying, I have performed this rite, this ritual, this ceremony, I am a very religious person, this is not the real religion.
Any words on how to develop the discipline to sit and regularly do meditation? The discipline is the hardest, says this questioner.
Well, quite true. It is essential. Every day you have to meditate, morning and evening. Like You take your meals every day. You take your breakfast, you take your lunch, you take your dinner. You don't say, I have no time. I don't want this kind of disciplined life. I can't take. You have to give. You have to give food to your body to keep it strong and healthy. You have to give food to your mind to keep it healthy. So people start realizing it's important. If my mind is not given proper food, it will become weak. It will become a sick mind. So therefore, I must give proper food every day, morning and evening, and one remains happy. That discipline is very important, and it comes with the strong determination of the student.
We know a little bit about your work with prisoners, and this questioner would like to know a little bit more about the introduction of the meditation into India's largest prison.
Well, it's a long story. When I came from Burma to India, I gave a course in Mahatma Gandhi's center, his ashram, where he was living. And some of his comrades, they participated, and they were so pleased. Then they took me to Vinoba Bhave, the chief disciple of Mahatma Gandhi, living a few miles away in Pavanar. And when I discussed with him, he said, no, there can't be a technique like this. He won't believe. Then he gave a challenge that if a change comes in the hard criminals and a change comes in the very indisciplined students, then yes, I will agree. I said, I have come from a foreign country. Now you arrange, I will teach. So he arranged for the students. Wonderful results came. But he could not arrange for the prison. After 4 or 5 years, a secretary, home secretary of the Rajasthan government, he came to the course. And after the course, he says, it is so wonderful and so good for our country and for all the countries because it is so secular. Anybody can practice. So this must be introduced everywhere. I said, why don't you introduce in the jail? You are a home secretary. Jails are under you. He said, yes, yes, I will do that. And the first course was given in Jaipur. And there were 3 research committees, and they found wonderful result. And then a few more courses, other jails. And then this person who was the Inspector General of Jails, Prisons, Kiran Bedi, in Tihar Jail, when she came to know, she invited, course was given, 2 courses were given. Then she said, there are 9,000 prisoners here. Thus 100 will not do. There must be a course of 1,000. I said, yes, we give a course of 1,000. I had 17 of my other assistant teachers with me. We gave a course of 1,000. They gave wonderful result. And now there's a center, a regular Vipassana center in the jail, Tihar Jail. Similarly, a regular Vipassana center in Nasik Jail. There is so much demand from different prisons. But of course, we need teachers for that. I have trained about 500 to 600 teachers, but still the demand is so much. In the United States also, some courses are given already, and very good results are coming. I'm so happy to see that. And there are courses in Nepal, there are courses in New Zealand, there are courses in Taiwan. Different countries have started, and they get the same result.
Have there been follow-up results to see?
Certainly, that is important. If somebody feels, very happy, 10 days, course was very happy, I'm not satisfied with that. Does that continue? These people who were so hard criminals, all the time thinking of some crime or the other, and the situation is such, any criminal goes to the jail, he comes out as a bigger criminal because he starts talking with others, how you committed this crime, how to do this way or that way. They learn much more there, and they come out as bigger criminals. Now we find, I was told here in the States that the number of people who used to visit prison again and again, now those who are taking courses, they don't visit that times. One who came and met me for a few years, now he's out of all that. He's not committing any crime. So it's a continuous liberation from this misery of crime. It is not just one time one feels very happy. I committed a crime, now I won't crime, won't commit. Again, he commits the same crime. But by this, we find a continuous self.
Why do you advise against sleeping in a high, cozy bed? What about the top of a bunk bed?
You just sleep and you won't meditate. So you aren't a cot, doesn't matter, but why cozy bed? What for? Then go to a 5-star hotel and stay there. Why come to a Vipassana center?
I have been practicing for 6 years now. I have many friends who are interested in learning more about meditation but are too afraid of making a 10-day commitment to a course. What is the best way to help them begin a practice without such a big initial commitment?
I come from a business world, so I know when I went to my teacher, I started bargaining. 10 days? It is too much, sir, for me. I am such a busy person. How can I give 10 days? You just Give me the technique, I'll practice at home. Why stay here? No. All right, one day, I'll come and stay with you one day. All right, 2 days, nothing doing. You won't learn the technique. It takes you to such a depth. Unless 10 days are very short, actually, for this technique. 100 years back, this technique was taught only to people who came for 1.5 months, not less than that. But now in this fast world and fast life, 10 days is the minimum. Less than that, one won't get anything. It will be frustration.
Here's a question about the political world. The American Henry Adams said that politics has always been the systematic organization of hatred. Must politics be like this, or can you imagine something different?
That is somebody's view. I'm not here to condemn others. But I knew by finding fault in others and by condemning others, there cannot be real peace and harmony in the society. So learn how to love others. Even though somebody has made a mistake, love, generate love, compassion for this person, and this person will start changing. If I am full of hatred, I can't help others. A lame person cannot help another lame person. A blind person cannot guide another blind person. So first become strong yourself, and then you will start helping others.
Well, with that answer, I think you've probably also answered this question, but the questioner wants to know, do you believe that a righteous indignation, which is a form of anger, can ever help cause social change or progress?
Not anger, but many a times you have to take very strong action, strong physical action, strong vocal action, because this person does not understand a soft language, so you have to use hard. But before doing that, you have to see that my mind is equanimous. I have no hatred for this person. I want to help this person. So with all the love and compassion, you take strong action, and that will be very effective. But with anger, if you say something, the vibration that goes with anger makes this person more angry. Anger will generate nothing but anger. You are having animosity with somebody, will bring nothing but animosity. So you have to change yourself, and then you will find others get changed.
This questioner would like you to speak about the link between chemical changes in the body due to negativity and cancers and other physical ailments.
Quite again, this was a great discovery of this enlightened person. He used the word asava. Asava means a flow. As soon as you generate any impurity in the mind, there is a secretion of some biochemical, glandular, non-glandular, and it starts flowing with the blood. And it is so unpleasant because anger, you generated anger. So this chemical is so unpleasant, you generate more anger. More anger, more chemical, more anger, more chemical, more chemical, more anger. A vicious circle has started for a long time. And now this technique tells you, although a very unpleasant sensation because of this chemical it has started, observe, remain equanimous. You are breaking this vicious circle, you are coming out of it. So the chemistry of the body, very strongly related to the mind. And once you are out of it, he used the word anasavo. Now there is no more flow of any impurity in the blood.
This person has very small handwriting. Can you please describe the difference between your form of meditation that you teach and that taught by other teachers such as Joseph Goldstein?
I got so much love for him. He's my child. He has taken courses from me, my Dhammasan. How can I condemn anybody? But of course, in this tradition, there are two very important things which we cannot ignore. One is that no money should be charged. Such a high spiritual path. How can you give any money for that? It is invaluable. And you start charging money for that. That means you are degrading the teaching. So it must be always free. And then another thing, when you are teaching somebody, whoever comes to you, a person of other sex, a female comes, she's like your daughter. You must have so much love for your daughter. A male comes, your son, you must have so much. And you start thinking of having any kind of sex relation with these people, totally against them. You try to marry this person and divorce and marry again and divorce, not Dhamma. So certain things where one has to be very careful to maintain the tradition of the purity of Dhamma.
This is, I think, a fairly poignant request. How can I help my mother to die peacefully?
Teacher Vipassana, bring her to the course And if she can't come to the course, situation is like that, then you come to the course, learn this technique, sit with her, and just ask her to observe the breath, and keep on giving the vibration of metta, of love, which is taught on the 10th day of the course, and you will find she's becoming more and more peaceful.
Western society has adopted many Eastern practices, from yoga to Chinese medicine. Is there a danger in taking a sort of shopping cart approach to other cultures and religions?
Don't take it as a culture, don't take it as a religion. You learn yoga, a physical exercise, to keep your body healthy. You're not converting yourself from this religion or that religion. And this is a mental exercise. You're practicing this not to convert yourself from one religion to another religion. So there's no cult involved in this, no dogma involved in this. It's an exercise, a scientific way of purifying the mind.
I'm sorry to say we have time for only one more question. And that is, particularly for the radio audience, how would people who are interested in learning more about this practice get more information?
Well, the people who organize, perhaps it is on the website also. There are 5 or 6 centers in the States, 2 centers in Canada. Around the world, there are 80 centers. From the website, they can know where the course is going on, and they can apply there and get confirmation there and join it.
Thank you very much.